can't be Santa's. I wanna love your face.
Marco, welcome to AstroTalk. It's sleepless in Vancouver. Yes, I haven't been able to sleep because of an injury, so welcome to a sleepless Marco. So how's everybody? There was a few incidents last month where a couple of asteroids nicked the Earth. Pretty big asteroids, and they were they weren't spotted until the last few minutes or the last few hours, and they came less than a moon's width away from Earth, so it's pretty close. And there's another one, April 16th. I'm going to read the article. Actually, today I wanted to talk about something different. I want to talk about wormholes, but this is important. An asteroid just misses us. Well, two last month and now one just recently. So I'm going to read the article. It says, Tunguska-sized asteroid makes surprise flyby of Earth. And it's on space.com. It's April 16th, 2018. And an asteroid similar in size to the one that exploded about 100 years ago in Russia's Tunguska region in Siberia gave Earth a close shave on Sunday, April 15th, just 1 day after astronomers discovered the object. So there's not much time. There's not much warning, is there? 1 day before it whizzed by Earth. The asteroid, designated 2018 GE3, made the closest approach to Earth at 2:41 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, whizzing by at a distance of 119,400 miles or 192,000 kilometers, or about half the average distance between Earth and Moon, according to NASA's Center for Near-Earth Object Studies. That's CNEOS. And NASA estimated this asteroid measured 150 to 360 feet, or 480 to 110 meters wide, making the space rock up to 3.6 times the size of the one that leveled 500,000 acres, or 2,000 square kilometers, of Siberian forest when it exploded over Tunguska in 1908. So the diagram shows the asteroid in orbit, 2018 GE3, which flew by Earth on April 15, 2018. So I think there's 500,000 asteroids, I think, and now there's 500,000 and one. This newfound asteroid is 3 to 6 times bigger than another recent meteor, the one that broke up over Chelyabinsk, Russia, in 2013. That object injured more than 1,200 people and damaged thousands of buildings up to 58 miles or 93 kilometers away from the impact site. So says spaceweather.com reporting, and quote, if 2018 GE3 hit Earth, it would have caused regional, not global, damage and might have disintegrated in the atmosphere before reaching the ground. Nevertheless, it is a significant asteroid, illustrating how even large space rocks can still take us by surprise. 2018 GE3 was found less than 1 day before its closest approach, end quote. Asteroid 2018 GE3 was first spotted on Saturday, April 14th by the astronomer at the Catalina Sky Survey, a NASA-sponsored program at the University of Arizona, Tucson. The first sighting occurred just 21 hours before the asteroid's closest approach to Earth. So these programs by NASA are worthwhile. Because what if it came in Western Canada, blew us up, blew Seattle, blew away Calgary? It is dangerous, these asteroids. And I thought NASA has most of them covered, but sometimes these things come at a surprisingly, they just come out of nowhere and they could cause damage. So actually today, I thought it was important to talk about that. I didn't really want to talk about that today, but it's an important thing because our survival depends on it. So when I was at the, I think it was a few weeks ago, I was at Science World, a professor here. Let me think his name. I'm sorry about this. I'm drawing a blank. But he's a professor at, he's a researcher at Triumph. And he was talking about the neutron stars that collided and how certain elements were made in that. So he was talking about that. And then later when he took questions, someone said, how can we waste money on astronomy? And I guess this asteroid answers that question. It's very important to keep track of the asteroids. And there's lots of other products or things that happen. And I was reading an article the other day about John Deere, the tractor company. NASA does satellite work with them, and it somehow helps their tractors. So there's a lot of, spin-offs from NASA programs. But anyway, it's important to know about these asteroids because they can hurt us. They certainly hurt the dinosaurs. Okay, so now I'm going to go on to what I really wanted to talk about today, and that was wormholes. So what's a wormhole? It's a model of a folded space-time. A wormhole is a bridge that might form with at least two mouths that are connected to a single throat or tube. And the wormhole is a hypothetical tunnel through space-time, allow faster than the speed of light travel, and could potentially leave dark telltale imprints in the sky that might be seen with a telescope, a new study says. So wormholes, we've seen them in movies where this group of scientists were transported to another universe. And that's what wormholes are. I thought they were black holes, and that could somehow be opened up. We could wrench the mouth of the black hole, enter it, and we'd enter it and we'd leave in another universe, another part of our galaxy, or another part of our universe. So that's what a wormhole is. And I remember in the mid-1990s, early 1990s, I was reading the book by Kip Thorne, Black Holes. I forget exactly what it's called, but he's a famous physicist, and he was here a few months ago or last year, and he just won a Nobel Prize. So he was talking about black holes and time warps. So let's talk about wormholes. What's a wormhole? Just like I said, I always thought a wormhole is where you can fold space. So you enter and somehow space is folded, or you can travel through the wormhole and exit. When you exit, first you enter the wormhole. When you exit, you're in another part of our universe, or you're in another universe. So it's a hypothetical construct of space-time. And I'm going to read a couple articles about wormholes. So there's one called Wormholes Could Cast Weird Shadows That Could Be Seen by Telescopes. Now, when I'm reading this article, I'm thinking, well, he seems to think that wormholes exist. So wormholes are, that's what he says. So another one is, another article, Science Fiction or Fact, Is Wormhole Space Travel Possible? So let's talk about wormholes. It says wormholes could cast weird shadows that could be seen by a telescope. So this person is theorizing that wormholes do exist. So I'm going to read the article, and as I read, I can maybe take a break from the article and give my thoughts about wormholes. But anyway, it's on Live Science, and the author is Marcus Wu. It's on April 16th, 2018. And again, the title is Wormholes Could Cast Weird Shadows That Could Be Seen by Telescopes. A model of folded space-time illustrates how a wormhole bridge might form with at least two mouths that are connected to a single throat or tube. So it's a diagram, and I'm going to try to pull up the article now so I can look at the diagram and comment on the diagram. But anyway, so a wormhole is a hypothetical bridge that somehow we can get through another part of the universe or another, let's see, this machine is playing tricks with me, so I am not able to open what I want to open. Okay, so I will start reading the article, and here it is. It's a photo. It says, a model of folded spacetime illustrates how a wormhole bridge might form with at least two mouths that are connected by a single throat or tube. So let's see if I can go to this article, and I can see the photo, and I can comment on the photo. So give me a sec, please. This is playing tricks on me, and here we go. Okay. Okay, here's the article. Okay, so here's the article now, and I'm going to talk about the article. So what it shows is it's on, it's like two funnels connected by a throat or a tube, and somehow if you are an advanced civilization and you know how to open the wormhole, you can enter it and leave through another part of the wormhole. You can exit the wormhole, end up somewhere else in a universe or another universe. So so again, I'm going to read the first article or the first sentence in the article and continue with the article. Wormholes are hypothetical tunnels through space-time that allow faster than light travel, could potentially leave dark telltale prints in the sky that might be seen with telescopes, a new study suggests. These slightly bent oblong wormhole shadows could be distinguished from the more circular patches left by black holes, and if detected, could show that the cosmic shortcuts first proposed by Albert Einstein more than a century ago are in fact real, one researcher says. Wormholes are cosmic shortcuts, tunnels through burrowing through space-time, through hyperspace. Hop in one end and you could emerge on the other side of the universe, a convenient method of hyperfast travel that's become a trope of science fiction. These science fiction staples arise from the equations of Einstein's theory of general relativity. Like the space-time around black hole, wormholes are regions where the fabric of space-time is so warped, light no longer travels in a straight line. Photons are light particles from nearby gas, dust, or background stars, careen around the wormhole, generate a ring of light, but photons too close would fall through the wormhole and leave behind a dark round void called a shadow. So just think, there are scientists that are actually being employed that are wormhole theorists. That's a nice job to think about. I'm going to go to work today and do research on wormholes. Okay, back to the article. Such a shadow would be similar to those cast by black holes, including the supermassive one at the center of the Milky Way, which astronomers are now trying to observe directly. Its shadow would appear tiny, so astronomers are linking radio dishes across the globe to form an Earth-sized telescope called the Event Horizon Telescope. They're now analyzing the first batch of data, which they collected last year. In the new analysis, published in the preprint journal AR Big XIV on March 30, Rajabal Sheikh, a physicist at the Tata Institute of Fundamental Research in Mumbai, India, found that a certain type of rotating wormhole would cast a larger and more distorted shadow than the one cast by a black hole. As a wormhole spun faster, its shadow would appear a little smooshed, while a black hole's shadow would remain more disc-like. So says Sheikh, and this is a quote, through the observation of their shadows, it might be possible to distinguish between black holes and wormholes, end quote. So we have to think about this. Scientists are spending their time on wormholes. Isn't that interesting? Okay. Researchers have calculated a rotating wormhole shadow before, but they overlooked the effect of the wormhole's throat, which connects its two ends, Sheikh said. Using the new analysis, astronomers could, in principle, identify a wormhole shadow when they see one. And if they do, it would not only be evidence of something out of science fiction, but also indirect evidence for some kind of exotic matter or a modified theory of gravity. He said, according to general relativity, a wormhole needs exotic and still theoretical matter that behaves like anti-gravity to keep it open, or else it would collapse immediately. Otherwise, a stable wormhole might require us to rethink our understanding of gravity, Shake said. So this is a real complex, this is a big thing, a wormhole. Do they exist? Okay, well, I've talked about this before. I've said that sometimes you can prove something mathematically and say, because this can be proven mathematically, it therefore exists. Okay, so got to think about that. I'll be back in a few minutes, but first let's take a break. Let's talk about, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put an ad about the Real Theater. And after we get back, we'll talk about wormholes. Thank you for listening. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
We just played Velvet Dinosaurs and their latest hit, Eating the Plate. Now let's go to the phones and hear what you have to say. Go ahead, caller, you're on the line.
Smash the dirty red scum!
Really?
Kill!
That's really
kill! Wrong. Kill! Filthy bastard tummies! I hate him! I hate him!
Okay, well, You know, maybe you should relax a little bit. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
This is going out to the whole wide west side. Know what I'm saying? Break it down for me. Steady mobbing, rock, rock on. I was just a young boy living in the hub city. Eastside Compton. Back in the days when Ice Cube and Easy had every talking about boy you can't.
This is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9 on the west side at UBC.
Too short, bumped in every super's boat and told us all how to ride for the west coast. My people singing, baby, where you at? Throw your gloves in the air and wave them like you just don't care. From LA to the Bay, what you say? All day, every day, any damn day. Take a look around, we got the whole world locked down. No, 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 don't stop, we won't stop. That's why I put it down for the west side.
It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, no.
We were still in 40s out the liquor store.
Oh, no.
Mama started tripping, so it's time to go.
Out to the park with the locusts.
Everybody broke, smoking roaches.
DJ Quick West, the had every claiming he was from the CPT.
Y'all remember?
One time tried to clown. We had to burn this bitch on down.
One time for my was in incarceration.
Welcome back. This is Marco, and we're talking about wormholes. I think it's probably a good idea for me to read something about a wormhole first to get some background or some theory on wormholes. I guess, that's the movie Stargate Atlantis, I think. Stargate, where they have a Stargate, that's a wormhole. So they travel through another part of the universe. Okay, and before I continue, there's a couple equations here of Einstein. They're triply all right. Yes, they are. I got some announcement to make. I should have made it at the beginning of the show. But on May 1st, I will interview Trina Ray again. Who is Trina Ray? She's my good friend. She's a nice person. She works for the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. Her first mission, I think, in the 70s, late 70s and the 80s, she was a scientist working on the Voyager program. So the Voyagers were in the late 1970s. Scientists knew that a rare alignment of the planets would occur. So Jupiter of the outer gas giants, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune would be close to each other. This happens once every 175 years. So to take advantage of this, they sent a couple of spacecraft called Pioneers, and the Pioneers were pioneers. They blazed the trail. They made the way. They did some research to make it safer for the two Voyager spacecraft to travel. So they scouted ahead and made sure they could get through the asteroid belt and survive Jupiter's gravity, because scientists then didn't know much about Jupiter and that. So the Pioneer spacecraft were the first ones to get to Jupiter, the first spacecraft to cross the asteroid belt. And when they did that, they made history, and then they blazed a trail for the Voyager spacecraft. So the Voyager spacecraft, like a lot of NASA projects, are meant for 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. They're still growing. They're still going after about 40 years. So that's amazing. One of them, I think Voyager 1 or Voyager 2, left the solar system. So it's out in interstellar space. And it's got so little power, it's hard to communicate. Doesn't do any science now. So scientists are looking at that now. They're hoping to get a spacecraft into interstellar space. And when it gets there, it'll have enough power and enough fortitude to do some science, to do some explorations. So Trina Ray worked on the Voyagers, and then she worked on the Cassini mission. So the Cassini mission ended up, it entered the Saturn system in 2004, did 13 years of science before it ran out of fuel, and it crash-landed into Saturn, I think, September 15th, 2017. So I'm going to get Trina Ray on May 1st. I'm going to interview her for an hour. And the week after that, I'll get the interview for her online here. So that'll be exciting. And I'm trying to get an astronaut, and the people... I'd like to interview an astronaut, but the people at Houston Space Center are not being very cooperative. The people at Jet Propulsion Laboratory are great. They are so great. And there's somebody named Felisa Cho in Washington, D.C. She was great in arranging an interview with a scientist with me before. So hopefully I can get an astronaut. That's what I really want to do. I want to get an astronaut on here. But more than anything, I'm really looking forward to listening to Trina Ray again. So Trina Ray will be on again. I'm going to interview her May 1st in here by phone, and she will tell us all about the Saturn mission. And she was one of the main scientists working on the final dive when the Voyager spacecraft made the final exciting dive through the rings, in between Saturn and the rings, and crash-landed into Saturn. So how can you crash-land into a gas planet? Well, somehow it did. I guess it burned up. So we'll get Trina Ray on. Okay, so now I'm going to go back to wormholes, and they're kind of scientific constructs from Einstein's theory of general relativity. So now I'm going to my good friend Wikipedia. So I'm going to read about a wormhole from Wikipedia. Sometimes it's called an Einstein-Rosen bridge. Okay, so here it goes from Wikipedia. A wormhole is a concept that represents a solution of the Einstein field equations, and it is a non-trivial resolution of the Ehrenfest paradox structure linking separate points in space-time. A wormhole can be visualized as a tunnel with two ends, each at separate points in space-time. So there's different locations and or different points of time. Or by a transcendental bijection of the space-time continuum. That's cool. More precisely, it is an asymptotic projection of the Calabi-Yau manifold manifesting itself in anti-de Sitter space. That's interesting. Okay, whatever that meant. Wormholes are consistent with the theory of general relativity, but whether wormholes actually exist remains to be seen. A wormhole could connect extremely long distances, such as a billion light years or more, to short distances, such as a few meters, in different universes or different points of space-time. So that's what a wormhole is all about. It connects different points in our universe or different universes that are so far apart, billions of light years, and makes them only a few meters apart. So how does it do that? Let's think about this. Okay. Some of these things in physics and in space science are spacey. They're weird. So, terminology. In 1928, Hermann Weyl proposed the wormhole theory of matter in connection with mass analysis of electromagnetic field energy. However, he did not use the term wormhole. He spoke of one-dimensional tubes instead. American theoretical physicist John Archibald Wheeler, inspired by Weyl's work, coined the term wormhole in 1957 paper co-authored by Charles Misner. This analysis, this is, end quote, this is what they says, this is what Charles Misner and John Wheeler says, end quote, this analysis forces one to consider situations where there is a net flux of lines of force through what topologists would call a handle of the multiply connected space, and what physicists might perhaps be excused for more vividly terming a wormhole, end quote. So let's look at modern definitions. Wormholes have been defined both geometrically and topologically. Topological, an intra-universe wormhole, or a wormhole between two points in the same universe, is a compact region of space-time whose boundary is topologically trivial, but whose interior is not simply connected. Formalizing this ideal leads to definitions such as the following. In a Minkowski, space-time contains a compact region omega, and if the topology of omega is of the form omega is approximately equal to r cross sigma, where sigma is a three-manifold of a non-trivial topology whose boundary has topology of the form del sigma is approximately equal to x squared, and if furthermore the hypersurfaces sigma are all space-like, then the region omega contains a quasi-permanent intra-universe wormhole, end quote. So that's pretty simple, isn't it? Okay. Geometrically, wormholes can be described as regions of space-time that constrain the incremental deformation of closed surfaces. For example, in Enrico Rodrigo's The Physics of Stargates, a wormhole is defined informally as, quote, a region of space-time containing a world tube that can be continuously deformed to a world line, end quote. So what does that mean? Okay. this is pretty confusing. So I'm going to go away from it. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on the Angry Listener again. No, I'm going to put on something else. But I like listening to the Angry Listener. I might surprise you with them later. But we'll take a break now, and then when we're back, we'll talk more about wormholes. So, again, these are theoretical constructs that are defined in very strange ways, and it's kind of like, what does this all mean? Okay, so I'm going to go for a break now, and when we're back, we'll talk more about wormholes. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Listen, radio is an important means of communicating 3,000 years of habit in terms of diapering of babies.
Well, please tell me more.
Because radio reaches people, including those hard-to-get young people. Radio goes where they go and talks their language, recognizing the importance of contemporary sound.
And the sounds are instantly recognizable as belonging to the in-groups currently on top of the charts.
CITR, 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
It's wild.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
That's it. Pack it up.
You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco on CITR 101.9.
Welcome. I didn't hit you with the Angry Listener, but I hit you with a yip, yip, yip alien. So I don't know what that what that promo is all about. But anyway, yip, 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 yip. So we're back. We're talking about wormholes. So what I usually do when I talk about a topic like a wormhole or something, I try not to pre-read the article, because if I do, then it takes away all the spontaneity. But then sometimes when you don't read the article like this, it's like, it's weird. So wormholes are kind of weird, aren't they? At least I think they are. And this is not going like I thought it would. So that's what happens sometimes. And I try to be spontaneous, but wormholes are kind of weird. Okay, so I'm going to keep on the topic. I'm going to finish this topic today, and we're going to talk about wormhole theory, because that's what I started, and I'm not going to abandon it. I'm going to keep talking about wormholes, even though some of the stuff is weird. Okay, so in my article, I was reading, a wormhole is a theoretical passage through space-time that could create shortcuts for long journeys across the universe. Now, that's nicely put. How come they didn't say that earlier? How come these people used all these complicated terms that mix me up and mixes everybody else? Okay, wormholes are predicted by the theory of general relativity, but be wary. Wormholes bring with them the dangers of sudden collapse, high radiation, and dangerous contact with exotic matter. So you need some kind of exotic matter to open a wormhole, or some kind of technological prowess that advanced civilizations could possess. So anyway, wormhole theory. Wormholes were first theorized in 1916, though that wasn't what they were called at the time. In 1935, Einstein and physicist Nathan Rosen used the theory of general relativity to elaborate on a deal, proposing the existence of bridges through space-time. These bridges connect two different points in space-time, theoretically creating a shortcut that could reduce time travel and distance. The shortcut came to be called an Einstein-Rosen bridge, or wormhole. Now, says Stephen HSU, so that's Hsu, I guess, a professor of theoretical physics at the University of Oregon, and quote, "The whole thing is very hypothetical at this point. No one thinks we're going to find a wormhole anytime soon," end quote. So again, in his book, Space-Time, or Black Holes and Space-Time, or Space Warps, whatever it was called, Kip Thorne theorized about wormholes, and he doesn't talk about them anymore. So they're kind of theoretical construct. Maybe we'll come back to them in a couple hundred years. Wormholes contain two mouths with a throat connecting the two mouths. The mouse would most likely be spheroidal, like a big hole. The throat might be a straight stretch, but it could also wind around, taking a longer path than a more conventional route might require. So if you're looking at the Star Wars movie, sometimes when they jump to hyperspace or whatever it's called, warp speed, and they go through kind of like a big tunnel, so that could be a wormhole. So Einstein's theory of general relativity mathematically predicts the existence of wormholes, but none have been discovered to date. A negative mass wormhole might be spotted by the way its gravity affects light that passes by. Certain solutions of general relativity allow for the existence of wormholes where the mouth of each is a black hole. However, a naturally occurring black hole formed by the collapse of a dying star does not itself create a wormhole. Now, a subtitle of this article is Through the Wormhole. Science fiction is filled with tales of traveling through wormholes, but the reality of such travel is more complicated, and not just because we've yet to spot one. The first problem is size. Primordial wormholes are predicted to exist on microscopic levels, about 10 to the minus 33 centimeters. So that's point, and then 33 zeros, and then a 1. So 0.000001 centimeters. However, as the universe expands, it is possible that some may have been stretched to larger sizes. Another problem comes from stability. The predicted Einstein-Rosen wormholes would be useless for travel, because they collapse quickly. So says Hsu, the professor from Oregon, and quote, "You would need some very exotic type of matter in order to stabilize a wormhole, and it's not clear whether such matter exists in the universe," end quote. Well, why do they think you need this exotic matter? How do they know? Kind of weird. But more recent research found that a wormhole containing exotic matter could stay open and unchanging for long, longer periods of time. Exotic matter, which should not be confused with dark matter or antimatter, contains negative energy, density, and a large negative pressure. Such matter has only been seen in the behavior of certain vacuum states as part of quantum field theory. If a wormhole contains sufficient exotic matter, whether naturally occurring or artificially added, it could theoretically be used as a method of sending information or travelers through space. Unfortunately, human journeys through the space tunnels may be challenging. Just maybe a little bit. Okay, so here's a quote from Kip Thorne, one of my heroes. He signed my book. I bought it in 1992, around then, and I read it, and he came to UBC last year, and he signed my book. Everybody, a lot of people in the audience had a book, but they were all bought recently or bought used, but I had one for about 26 years or so, so hooray for me. Okay, so here says Kip Thorne, one of the world's leading authorities on relativity, black holes, and wormholes. Here he's speaking, and quote, the jury is not in, so we just don't know. But there are very strong indications that wormholes that a human could travel through are forbidden by the laws of physics. Sorry, that said, that's unfortunate, but that's a direction in which things are pointing, end quote. Wormholes may not only connect two separate regions within a universe, they could also connect two different universes. Aha, that's interesting. Similarly, some scientists have conjectured that if a mouth of a wormhole is moved in a specific manner, it could allow for time travel. So another astrophysicist, Eric Davis, told Live Science, and quote, you can go into the future, into the past, using transversible wormholes, but it won't be easy. It would take a Herculean effort to turn a wormhole into a time machine. It's going to be tough enough to pull off a wormhole, end quote. However, British cosmologist Stephen Hawking has argued that such use is not possible. Here's NASA's Eric Christian wrote, and quote, a wormhole is not really a means of going back in time. It's a shortcut, so it's that something that was far away is much closer, end quote. Although adding exotic matter to a wormhole might stabilize it to the point that human passengers could travel safely through it, there is still the possibility that the addition of regular matter would be sufficient to destabilize the portal. Today's technology is insufficient, really, to enlarge or stabilize wormholes, even if they could be found. However, scientists continue to explore the concept as a method of space travel with the hope that technology will eventually be able to utilize them. So says Professor Hsu from Oregon, and again, in quote, you would need some sort of super, super advanced technology. Humans won't be doing this in any time in the near future, end quote. So that's our first article about wormholes. Now, I had another article, Science Fiction or Fact, is wormhole space travel possible? Okay, before we talk about wormholes, let's go to a break. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about wormholes. This is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
We just played Velvet Dinosaurs and their latest hit, Eating the Plate. Now let's go to the phones and hear what you have to say. Go ahead, caller, you're on the line.
Smash the dirty red scum! Take him in the teeth, red hats!
Really?
Kill!
That's really
kill! Wrong. Kill! Filthy bastard tummies! I hate him! I hate him!
Okay, well,
You know, maybe you should relax a little bit. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
Thank you.
Slow down. You're not in a race. Alcohol-related deaths are one of the leading preventable causes of death in Canada. Please remember to drink responsibly.
From a Gucci in the winter, I seen you with your girls walking, in your chinchilla fur. I was laid up in the cool back shader, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun well done. Looking for a ring, I seen none, so I hopped out the coupe and hot the suit to stop and introduce like I'm shining. You my destiny, in your diamond cluster, too much just to touch you.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco, the best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not for ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full of a disease. My Firebird, if my Firebird can let face the curve. Girl, put your ass and the dumb at your butt.
You're getting closer. My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in all. Come here, let's see your head on my bed. And let me get between your legs. Lay on your back. Take it from the back. Like a bag you're supposed to. I know you like that. Scream with the neighbors when they sleep. Grab the sheets with your teeth. Wiggle your butt cheeks. Pour the styles over your body. Lift you up. Treat you like a convenience store. Slick you up. Take you to the balcony. Pick you up. So you can look at the city while I'm digging your kitty. Then we drive into the sunset. Pull over. Get up on the hood, ma. I ain't done yet.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not for ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full of a disease, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Firebird. If my Firebird can let it pass the curve. Girl, put your ass and the dumb at your butt.
John, you're mine!
Welcome back. That was Shine, S-H-Y, and E, and our former program manager. Well, when I was waiting here, I looked at an interesting article, so I clicked on it, and here it is. It's not anything to do with astronomy, but it's pretty cool. Well, we'll see if it's cool. Here it goes from Live Science. Exploding ants kill foes and themselves with a block of toxic goo. Tree-top-dwelling ants from Southeast Asia have an explosive defense move. The insects take down their foes by blowing themselves up. If that sounds gut-wrenching to you, just imagine what it feels like to the ant. Commonly known as exploding ants, workers in this group respond to threats by deliberately and fatally rupturing their body while spouting rivals with toxic fluid. So that's kind of weird. You save yourself by killing yourself. So just like the Americans said in Vietnam when they destroyed a town, they go, "We had to destroy the town to save it." Okay. So anyway, this one is a strange thing. It says, many animals engage in chemical warfare, stewing toxic brews in their own bodies to subdue prey or scare off enemies. Venomous creatures, which include snakes, spiders, insects, fish, cephalopods, amphibians, reptiles, and even some type of mammals, deliver their toxins with stings, stabs, or bites. So this ant blows itself up to protect itself. So that's interesting. Okay, so I'm going to get to my second article about wormholes. It says, it's on Live Science, and it's dated February 22nd, 2012, a few years ago, by Adam Hadzhazy. So I guess the reason it's a few years ago is wormholes are probably not in vogue anymore. There's lots of stuff that that talks about, gravitational, gravitational lensing. Dark matter, that's in vogue now. Wormholes maybe were a few years ago, but doesn't seem like many people talk about them, except me today. Okay, so this is an article dated February 22nd, 2012, and it gives a time, 6:01 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Interesting. Okay, science fiction or fact, is wormhole space travel possible? Now it shows a picture, gamma quadrant, here we come, the wormhole in Star Trek Deep Space Nine. Shows a spaceship going through a wormhole. Okay, sometimes warp speed just isn't an option. How then to traverse vast cosmic distances? Jump through a wormhole, of course. These tunnels through space-time allow starships to zip across the galaxy in Star Trek Deep Space Nine and form the alien transit hub seen in the 1997 movie Contact. For now, though, wormholes are merely a concept and a highly speculative one at that. That's saying a lot. Here's again is Stephen Hsu, a professor of theoretical physics at the University of Oregon, and quote, "The whole thing is very hypothetical at this point, or at any point maybe. No one thinks we're going to find a wormhole anytime soon," end quote. The ability to ever actually use wormholes as interstellar superhighways seems extremely remote, yet physics does not close the door completely, on the existence of these bridges through space-time. Wormholes have been bandied about by scientists for close to a century now. From a physics standpoint, a number of roads could lead to the creation of wormhole. One of the most explored is Albert Einstein's general theory of relativity. There could be solutions to the Einstein's equation, which are wormholes. The solutions describe a tube through the four dimensions of space-time, potentially connecting two regions of vast distances. Think of two dots on a sheet of paper that is then folded so the dots overlap. That overlap is your wormhole, and it could theoretically allow for the transfer of matter from dot A to dot B instantaneously instead of traveling the normal long way across the sheet. Scientists have theorized how a wormhole might work. The entrance would be a black hole, while where matter exits from the wormhole would be naturally a white hole. The first half of that construction definitely exists. Black holes, hyperdense objects thought to be at the center of many galaxies, some of which are known to have formed during the collapse of giant stars, that exert so much gravity that not even light can escape their clutches. Although we cannot see black holes directly, we can infer their presence or how they affect nearby matter. Black holes have been caught in the act of gobbling up matter, which superheats as it swirls into their maws, and can routinely whip stars around the center of galaxies where supermassive black holes reside. There is zero observational evidence, however, for white holes or matter otherwise materializing from the terminus of anything, let alone a wormhole. It might be that we just don't see, or we don't or can't see them. Wormholes may occur only on subatomic scales and last for mere fractions of a second, suggests Paul Davies, a theoretical physicist and cosmologist at the University of Arizona. So says Davies, and quote, "Wormholes large enough for a human being to travel through might require some new form of physics," end quote. So this is, how can I get out of this wormhole show? Pretty soon, I think. Even supposing that nature somehow produced suitably person or ship-sized wormholes, pathing through them would be a tall order. The strength needed to open a passage through space-time, so far as we know, involves extreme densities and energies, conditions that would mean certain death to anyone entering a wormhole. So says Hsu again, and quote, "If the formation of a black hole causes a formation of a wormhole, which reconnects to our universe or another, most of us would guess that the densities involved wouldn't be practically useful for someone soft and pink like you and me," end quote. Well said. That small matter aside, another issue for wormholes is keeping them pried open and stable. Yes, that would be hard, wouldn't it? Where are we? Here we go. Many sorts of theoretical wormholes quickly collapse or scramble whatever particles are inside them. So says Hsu again, and quote, "You would need some very exotic type of matter in order to stabilize a wormhole, and it's not clear whether such matter exists in the universe," end quote. Such matter would need to have negative energy that expands in space instead of contracting, as mass with its inherent gravity is wont to do. One such candidate phenomenon is the Casimir effect, which was verified about 15 years ago in the lab. According to quantum mechanics, the vacuum of space is suffused by electromagnetic waves of all frequencies. By placing two thin metal plates within a few nanometers of each other, longer waves are excluded from the gap. Because there are not as many waves in the gap as in normal space, a negative energy density is created and the plates attract each other. In theory, if amplified, the Casimir effect could be used to manipulate wormholes. But Hsu said the effect is very weak and would introduce the inherent fuzzy unpredictability of quantum mechanical systems, so the wormhole would probably not be stabilized in any case. Another strange item, known as dark energy, the mysterious force thought to be behind the acceleration of the universe expansion, hints at fresh physics yet to be understood. String theory and other corrections to general relativity might yet change the game, but Hsu said it is far from clear how any of these could be applied to the problem of wormhole wrangling. Overall, exploiting natural wormhole portals or generating homemade versions like the Space Bridge in the film Stargate is far beyond our abilities. You would need some sort of super, super advanced technology. Humans won't be doing this anytime in the near future. Okay, so now we talked about something weird. But if we look it up at this perspective, Einstein, he came up with his theory of general relativity over a century ago. And out of that came the possibility that wormholes could exist. And there's lots of other interesting things that come out of Einstein's theories. And I guess most people on Earth don't understand them. We understand, we know now what a black hole is, and gravitational lensing, and a lot of other things that Einstein predicted have come true, but it's been a century since we've been able to verify them. So we have all this strange physics that comes out of Einstein's theories, like wormholes, and what else was recently verified? Gravitational waves. So that was one thing. Einstein pondered that for a while. He was going to think about it, but then he said, no, I don't think it exists. And then, yes, he was convinced, yes, it does exist. So he kind of waffled in it for quite a few decades, I think. And a lot of us still don't understand. So there's something I brought up a couple of weeks ago where, let's say I leave this show, I leave the studio, and I go to the bottom of the stairs and I say, okay, if I turn right, I'm going to go up and get a piece of pizza. Or should I go first to get a cheaper Coke at the deli or even a sandwich at the deli? So I think about it and then I all of a sudden decide, okay, I'm going to go to the deli first. But what some physicists are trying to tell us now is that what actually happens at that staircase, the universe splits in two. So one of me goes up the stairs to the pizza place, one of me goes to the deli. And later, if I'm going to make a decision, and an infinite number of times, there's going to be this splitting of the universe. So that's a weird concept. And a lot of physicists are saying, yeah, I believe it. It's true. But there's even a simpler thing. One physicist said about the multiverse, there's an infinite number of universes. So mathematically, we could verify that because there's an infinite number of universes, then there's somebody like me in another universe doing the exact same thing that I'm doing now, talking about the exact same thing. Because mathematically, a mathematician or a physicist could prove it mathematically. But because it exists mathematically, does that mean it's true? So I guess that's one thing about mathematics. We can say, yeah, we can prove wormholes are true. And but just because you say it, the math tells us something can happen, does it exist? And there's the other thing where, is it possible? So with our technology, is it possible? So I heard one physicist say one time, well, go to a black hole, hover above its event horizon, just close to its event horizon for a year, let's say, and that would take an insurmountable amount of energy. We can never do that. But let's say if we did that. So we'd come back, and because we're around a black hole, and the physics is different there, and time passes by slower. So either close to a black hole where there's so much gravity, or if you're traveling close to the speed of light, your time is different than the time that us humans would experience. So we can go hover above a black hole event horizon, let's say a few meters above it, come back, and the Earth would have aged millions of years or something. So we can prove that mathematically, and that might, we could maybe do that, but we don't have the technology to do that. So there's one thing where if we say something exists, we can say, well, here's the math to prove that it is so. But does that mean it's true? Just because the math can tell us, our interpretation of the math or the physics says, okay, because of this equation, this means this. Well, you know, that's one thing. But do we have the technology to do it if we could do it? So that's another thing. So here we're talking about a weird part of physics. And sometimes quantum mechanics, things that physicists talk about, like Einstein, or things about astronomy. They're hard to grasp. It's hard to imagine. We can look at it this way. Let's say if I could suddenly travel at half the speed of light, that's phenomenal. It's something outside of our existences because we can't do it. We don't experience life like that. We don't travel one light year. We don't travel at a billion miles an hour or like a million miles an hour. And